I'm Ben Salter.
And Bridget Lewis.
We're just hanging out. No, we're from the Gin Club from Brisbane in Australia.
So this is not a new band, and yet you are to myself and my listeners.
Okay, well, I've been in bands previously in Brisbane. I guess I've been playing for about 10 years, but kind of heavy rock stuff. And about 4 years ago, I was running an open mic night. I don't know if you guys, I guess you guys have those here, yeah, where people come along and play their songs and maybe get a free beer or something. And that's how I started out doing those kind of things. So I started running one in Brisbane, and over the course of kind of 6 months, a whole bunch of different songwriters turned up. I kind of already knew Bridget. And I knew that she played cello, but all the other guys in the band, Connor and Brad, and I'd never met them before, and they would turn up, and I kind of used to encourage people to do their own stuff rather than doing covers, and just got to know them really well and loved all their songs, and I kind of thought we should do this, you know, you guys. I was just amazed that these guys weren't doing it professionally or like trying to pursue a career. They were just turning up at an open mic night and playing their songs, and so I said, look, let's do something like a collective. I mean, I was writing to stuff like the Olivia Tremor Control and a lot of American bands on a label called Elephant Six over here, and also stuff like Wu-Tang Clan, where you got, you know, nine different guys all contributing, and I thought we could do something like that, but with acoustic kind of, I guess, folk-based, you know, and we were really into the band. We were all getting into The Last Waltz at the time, and so, yeah, we just started doing gigs, and we'd kind of, whoever does the song sings it, and everyone else rotates and shuffles around on all the other instruments behind them, and then three albums later, here we are.
2 to 9 members vary on stage. And, you know, the collective's become pretty popular. I mean, the New Pornographers are sort of kind of a collective. Broken Social Scene are sort of kind of a collective. So do you announce in advance for the audience whether they're going to get 2 people or 9 people? And do they think, perhaps, well, wait a minute, I paid $15 to see the band. Now, if I get 9 people, then that's only $1.21 per member, but it, well, you get what I'm saying.
Well, I guess it's kind of, I mean, 2 members is stuff we can get away with for doing things like radio. I mean, I guess that applies to most bands though, but yeah, I mean, we do try to give at least a minimum of 4 if we're doing a tour or we're going interstate and stuff like that. But it just means it's flexible in terms of, you know, Bridget and a lot of the other members have jobs, and it's we're just trying to change the structure of what being in a band in this day and age, where we're trying to make it so we can do it without having to rely on it all the time for money, you know, because it and everyone having to quit their jobs and go on 2 or 12, you know, it means that we can. We've got a couple of members down in Melbourne, so we can go down there and hook up with those guys. Or sometimes every, you know, 4 times a year, everyone can go on tour. But the rest of the time, if we have to do shows, we can, you know, change it around. And when you've got, you know, 7 songwriters, it's there's never any shortage of people to get up and, you know, sing. So
you've been in Australia for a bit. You're not exactly a new band. But am I correct that the U.S. has yet to embrace the Gin Club?
Yes, it's our first time and a brand new experience and very exciting. And we've been, encouraged to come over through our label, Plus One, and Simon and Denise, who run that little home business, have been over here a few times and have always spoken very highly about the nice people and the opportunities. So we're very eager to come across and have a go. It's a shame it's only a short trip this time, but hopefully we'll be able to get back again soon.
It's all about expectations and what you go into. And having been in bands before this, I learned really quickly that expectations are what destroy a lot of bands. You know, they have very high expectations of what being in a band is like. But ultimately, I mean, I think a lot of musicians are real whingers and really have it a lot too easy. It's like, if you want to make some money, go get a real job, you know, like, but I think that to have an expectation in this day and age that you can be in a band and do something that's great, that a lot of people would kill to do, it's hard work, sure. And like, I think that you should be respected for doing it if you are a musician, but I don't think you should expect to be handed, you know, money. I think you got to work to find ways, just like everyone else out there with a small business has to work to find ways to make themselves profitable. And like, for us, it's about the ride, you know, it's about the journey as much as any kind of destination. We really just want to be able to make the albums that we want to make, and travel definitely is a big part of it. But apart from that, you know, as long as we've got enough to eat and, you know, and, you know, we have a great time together and we love making music together. And as long as we can make the albums that we can make, then, you know, I mean, it would be great to do all those things. But, I mean, to open for Radiohead would be fantastic. But, yeah, you know, like it's all about, for us, just doing what we do, and if people respond to it, then they do, which they seem to, you know. So
I know the band name involves, let me think, drinking. So why don't you tell me the story in your own words?
Well, the reason we're called the Gin Club is just we couldn't come up with a name for the band. Like, it's a very difficult thing, as anyone who's ever been in a band will attest. And we played a place called the Troubadour in Brisbane. They have one there as well. And we were drinking gin pretty exclusively at that stage. All of us were going through a gin and tonic phase. So they just billed us as the Gin Club one night. There's pretty much not much more to it than that. Like, in, yeah.
So you were named by the club. That's fabulous. Yeah. So on to this thing, Junk, your magnum opus. Mm. How what is it, a 58-page novel that's in there? Yeah. And, you know, you've compared it on your site to Big Pink and the White Album. So I imagine, rhetorical question, that the reason you did a double album with this many songwriters is you had a lot of songs.
Yeah.
That's pretty much it. We didn't start out to do a double album. We didn't really start out to record an album. We went and spent some time at Ben's sister's cattle property in outback Queensland, and just to do some demos. And the result of that was, so we looked at this body of material we'd just done in a week, and we thought it was pretty good. So we thought we'd sort of build on that and keep going. And we thought about trying to cut it back to one album, but the rate at which people produce songs in this band, there was, you know, no point in sitting on them really. If we waited, we'd have just as many next year. So we thought, they're all good, let's put them all out.
We're trying to get the Wu-Tang model going from now on, where we start getting a few solo albums released on the side to kind of use up this excess of material. But, you know, that's the next stage of the Gin Club world domination plan, you know, that didn't exist two questions ago.
But you did go to a bunch of very different places, a church, a foundry, and a basement. So tell me, again, with all of these people, did someone say, you know, I want to record my song in a foundry. I want to record my song in a basement. You know, I want my song to be a religious experience. So tell me a little bit about that.
Well, when we started out, we kind of booked 2 weeks, and as Bridget was saying, like we didn't really know what we were going to do with these songs or how. And then when we realized, we've got a double album, great, you know, it's a great idea. Let's do a double album. And so we got a big sheet of butcher's paper and did a big graph of all the songs, 26 songs, and then all the parts, you know, big lists, and started ticking them off. And we soon realized that the 2 weeks that we had scheduled up at my sister's property wasn't going to fill in all those boxes. And so then it became a process of kind of booking out it. Our producer, Magoo, he's a fantastic Australian producer. He just bought a studio. Well, he bought a church, an old church that had been renovated into a house that he's now turned into a studio. And so we went out there and still had stuff left to do. And the Hammond organ parts, Dan's, they're pretty tricky to move, Leslie speakers and Hammond organ. So we took the joy of having, you know, Pro Tools and stuff these days. We can just drag a hard drive around and recorded all those parts there. And then we kind of still had ticking off boxes. We had to go to the Foundry, which is a very good friend of ours, Murray's amazing studio and a disused kind of industrial art complex like a foundry, and did lots of hand claps and percussion tracks. And then so it was really cool. It was like great to go to. There's a lot of different sounds and a lot of different rooms, I guess.
So we do a thing called a musical sandwich, and this is my way of getting into your heads musically about the, and of course if we had the other 9 members of the collective, this would be even more insane, but you're going to have to represent them. What we do is we take 2 of your songs as the bread, and then we put other ingredients in between from other bands.